This week, Google unveiled its driverless car, where they replaced a human driver with a machine and clocked up 700,000 crash-free miles in the process. So with robotics being used in motoring and the milking parlour, as we've heard, what other developments lie in store? A recent survey revealed that a third of us fear losing our jobs to a robot. But are those fears founded? Conor McGinn is a robotics researcher at the Engineering Department in Trinity College Dublin, and Niamh O'Mahony is lead application engineer at Shimmer, a company that manufactures wearable sensor technology. You're both very welcome to the programme. Conor, if I could ask you first, will robots take over a lot of our jobs in the future?
Good morning, Richard. I think really we need to look at, not really if they're going to take over the jobs, but really how they're going to interact with the workforce. And I think that, of course, technology has always had some displacement of jobs, but I think ultimately robots have the capability to create more jobs than they have to replace. So I think, you know, as robots become smarter and, you know, more ubiquitous in our society, they will kind of take over some of the jobs that are currently being done by people. But, you know, in doing so, that requires robots to be programmed to do that. And in that process in itself, certainly in my opinion, and the evidence is kind of showing this, that they're causing a lot of jobs to be created in the process.
But what will the rest of us do if it's going to create more jobs, if robots doing the jobs we do now will create new jobs? What will they be?
Sure. Well, I suppose there's industries now that are kind of being created that didn't exist previously, that, you know, allow robots to do certain things. So I guess, like, if you're looking at kind of disaster response might be an example of this. So currently, like, you know, we don't really have, as we saw with the Fukushima plant in Japan a couple of years ago, we don't really have any really good response to those kind of things. So by kind of developing robots that can kind of go into those scenarios and, you know, do the role that people fundamentally can't do because of dangerous reasons, you know, then we're kind of creating little kind of divisions that do good for the general good there. I think similarly, you've got situations where there's automation that, you know, people can't do. So making microchips, and, you know, there's certain high-tech industries that, you know, people don't have the tangibility to do. And by bringing robots in to do these kind of things, you know, we're enabling things that people can't do, and people have to teach these things, people have to program them, people have to build them.
Niamh, should we be scared of robots? When I think of robots, I think of films, and they usually are taking over and destroying human dignity, etc. in the process. Should we be fearful of them?
No, I don't think we should be fearful. I think the opportunity, the opportunity that robots have to, like Conor was saying there, you know, move the workforce away from some of the jobs that robots can do and give us more interesting jobs. So it will require definitely upskilling of a lot of people, but that, you know, there's nothing to be feared there. That's happened over time in the past. I mean, if you look back, you know, when books started being written, they were being written by hand, and now they're being printed. So all of the people whose job it was to write those books were put out of work, but didn't that make lots of more interesting jobs? And new industries evolve all the time. I think the only fear we have with robotics and that whole industry and how it's growing is how humans are going to use them. So, you know, there is the potential there for the technology to be abused, to be used, you know, to not be fully understood. I think there's definitely a responsibility there to make sure that we develop this technology correctly and we, you know, we don't use it for bad.
One of the big problems is, Conor, that, you know, let's say, for example, it's already used, machinery is already used and computers are already used in airplanes, you know, with autopilot and very sophisticated equipment like that. Or in surgery, for example, in theory, you could have a robot doing the operation. They'd never get tired. They might be more precise than the human hand, but they cannot exercise judgment.
Well, to kind of take over from the surgery thing, that there actually is robots that do surgery. There's a famous robot called the Da Vinci robot, and it's capable of doing minimally invasive surgery at an incredible scale. And the correlation between the patients and recovery times versus the older procedures is really crazy. It's orders of magnitude better.
You'd be happy to be opened up by that robot.
Well, of course, if it goes through the right procedures, you know, it won't be there unless it makes a difference. And like, there's a kind of this technology is probably close to 10 years old now. So there's, you know, these kind of things are really, you know, quite mature at this stage. I think as far as judgment is concerned, that's a really good point. I think that, you know, this isn't going to be a black and white thing where one day it's a person doing it, the next day it's a robot. Like, the reality here is that the kind of stuff that's been automated in the past has been, you know, very repetitive tasks that, you know, robots are well designed for. The kind of the next generation of robots are cooperative robots. It's not necessarily the robot coming in and taking a job. It's a case where the robot's coming in and learning to work with people.
Niamh, what about that at surgery? Another example would be very often when a surgeon performs an operation to fix something, they see something else that's wrong. The robot won't see that.
No, they won't. They won't spot that. I think that's very true. And I think the opportunity there is to use the robots to enhance what we can do. But that always, and it's something, you know, like the surgeon, you're saying you'd be happy to have a robot open you up. I certainly wouldn't. I would be happy to have the robot involved if that was the best that the technology could do.
Maybe holding the tray.
Exactly. You know, I think you have to have the human expertise. We can program robots to do a lot of the things that we know how to do, but that reaction and the unknown and how we'll react to the unknown isn't something that we can pre-program into the robots. You know?
But you're happy to fly in a plane where a computer is.
Yes, I am, but only because I know that there is also a human pilot there who's going to react if something goes wrong. And I think that's for me anyway, I think that's one of the key things. It's using, you know, seeing that robotics, that sensing technology, that all of these things can enhance the information we have, and they can enable the human operator then to combine that with all of their other experience and to make better decisions then.
Connor, there's a whole economic story behind this as well. I mean, I've heard it said that if robots were to get more involved in the mass manufacturing process, it would enable many things that are made in low labour cost places like China to come back to Europe.
Sure.
But if that happened, they'd come back to Europe, but there wouldn't be as many jobs. We'd have all the pollution of the factories, and these factories would be so mobile that they could clear off and go wherever they wanted practically overnight and bring the robots with them.
I suppose, like, as far as that's concerned, of course, like there's always going to be pros and cons for these things, and like there's no solution that's going to make everybody happy. But I suppose in that sense, I think the market here isn't necessarily bringing the mass produced things over here. It's enabling SMEs and kind of companies that currently have no choice but to rely on China and kind of places where there's low labor cost to get things done. Like, you know, if you can think of a situation where, like, if you're a kind of an R&D company, like Ireland is kind of a country that's really emerging as a technical country now, and if there's startups that are getting set up that want to get something made, like it's not practical for them to be dealing halfway across the world and the cost of logistics. If it was possible for them on kind of batch scales to be able to kind of bring a robot in that's maybe, you know, no more than 50,000 euros and be able to use that robot to help develop a product and get it to the point where it's selling things, like, I don't think in that situation then that the robot is directly, you know, it's not a situation where there's 100 or 200 workers getting fired. It's a situation where there's maybe 10 or 15 people in a company and they want to make something, and this robot is very much a tool to allow them to grow. And like there's organizations around Europe that are now just looking at the evidence here and the statistics here. And it's my opinion, and certainly that of others, that our kind of negative perception and our negative attitudes towards robots, it comes directly from the kind of media perception of these things. And when we look at kind of, you know, countries in China and things like that where robotics, because it's a necessity of their economy and has been for a long time, they're portrayed very differently in the media. Like where we see kind of Terminator films, they see kind of cartoons of like robots being a force for good.
Niamh, one thing that strikes me about it, and we talked about suspicion of robots, we like robots if we could purchase them as consumers to do things for us. We have dishwashers if we had a robot that was going to clear off the table,
and
as well.
The vacuum cleaners that run around your house.
But when it comes to the manufacturing process, we're worried about jobs.
Yeah, and it is, you know, I mean, it's certainly, you know, it's an understandable fear in that sense, in that people will have to change, we'll have to adapt, and as a society, I suppose it's all very well to say that what will be left will be all of the higher skill jobs, because, you know, there are all elements of society that need to be catered for. But I think a general adaptation and upskilling and education will be what will bring that about, you know. And I mean, over time, this is going to adapt. It's not going to change overnight. It's going to be a slow process. I think the first step is using all of this technology to help us first. And little by little, we'll find better things that we can be doing, and we can let the robots. And I mean, you take, for example, what's happened in Turkey recently. You know, if we could have robots down in the mines, wouldn't that be, you know, we could avoid a lot of these kind of tragedies. There are a lot of areas where if you can get the humans out of there, that's the best you can do, you know.
So do not be afraid seems to be the core message. Conor McGinn and Niamh O'Mahony, thanks very much for joining me on the programme.
Thanks, Richard. You're vulnerable.
The Business on RTE Radio 1. You are not a